Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our midweek gathering around the Word of God. Let's talk about Jesus. That is the name of this broadcast here on the internet. And it is specifically going to be a point to ponder today. We've been taking a Selah moment out of our teaching of general teaching to be very, very specific. I believe there is a hunger in God's children to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, not just what I believe is going to be important or what, outline that we could follow and we could learn things about the Bible, and all of it is good, but there is specific things relevant to the time and place we are in prophecy, in the end times that we are living, that we need to hear a personal, precise word from God of how to live effectively and to overcome, hallelujah, in these times that we are living. Amen. We're giving great promises to him that overcometh. All of the promises of all these blessings in the seven churches of Asia was to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him or her that overcometh. So we need to hear something that will help us to overcome, amen, and thrive instead of just survive. Now, when I use the word overcome, I'm not saying let's just try to hold out till Jesus comes. No, let's occupy until he comes. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus has brought us to this place in our lives. We are in effect, and in fact, I believe, in the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe he meant us to be here during the perilous time of the end times, to be a witness for him and unto him, that many souls may be ushered into the kingdom of God, amen, and be brought out of the chains of the kingdom of darkness, the prison house of darkened souls and darkness. Oh, friend of mine, we are God's luminaries, and God wants us to know some things that are so important to know, not just to survive, but to thrive in these last days. So this is the challenge. This is the point to ponder today. Amen. Do we really know what we know? Now, if I would ask you, do you know that God loves you? I believe if you're a real Christian that you would say yes without any doubt. You know that. Do you believe the Word of God is the inerrant, eternal Word of God? Do you know that? Yes, absolutely. Do you know God watches over His Word to perform it? You have no need to doubt or fear that He will fail? I mean, we would all generally say that. We would give mental assent and mental consent to that truth. But we're not just talking about trying to solicit mental assent. Amen. We're looking for something deeper, something that is so seated into the heart. Yes, it will affect the mind, and the mind will begin to agree with that is deeper within the heart, that grows out of the heart. The Word of God is sown as a seed in the heart. And then it begins to affect us in our mind. That's why the Bible said to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That happens when that is seated in the heart begins to grow. Amen. Until we're not just giving mental assent only, but we're saying yes and amen to the Word of God and to the God of the Word, because it is fixed, crystallized in our heart as a truth that cannot and will be shaken. It's a deep, settled knowledge that cannot be shaken. Praise God. So do we really know what we know? Do we really know what we are quick to acknowledge is true? Do we really, without any doubt of God's love for us, His faithfulness to us, do we know that He has a plan for us and He's working for our good in spite of the circumstance we may be going through at any given time? Can we trust Him without doubting the truthfulness and inerrancy of His eternal Word? Friend of mine, today I want to submit to you, we need to double down on God's truth and begin to doubt our doubts. Amen. Then we can know that we know. The scriptures are very clear in Job 1 and 21. Listen, he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In the midst of what he was going through, he said, number one, God is the giver of all blessings, and even when trouble comes, he is still in charge. He is still in control, and I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. Did he question? Did he doubt? Yes, he did. But a revelation knowledge, and I want to qualify and clarify that. Revelation knowledge is different than just knowledge that comes through study, knowledge that comes through our intellectual ability to conceive something in our mind and decide on it based on our conception and perception of it. Yes, the intellect is part of that, but this goes beyond the intellect. Amen. Hallelujah. This is something that flesh and blood cannot by itself and in and of itself reveal to us, even though it is true. Even though a teacher is bringing it from the Word of God to us, like I'm going to do today, seeking to do today, it's something that becomes very personal to us. And it's something that it doesn't bypass our mind. Our mind is going to be greatly affected when God reveals it to our heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. When it gets deep within us, a truth that is so deep within us, though our mind can't figure it out, we still trust and not doubt. We still believe and not question God to the point of disbelieving Him or accusing Him even of being unfaithful. The devil will come in on all of those doubts and all of those fears and try to shake us from our faith in God. And the Bible said we have need of patience, which perseverance is the word used here. Not take a number and sit down, but actively, aggressively continue to trust and believe God. You have need of that kind of perseverance that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Amen. That anticipation of God coming through no matter what. God bringing us through no matter what. Amen. Will be something that is an anchor, sure and steadfast for our soul, even in the time of the storms of life. when the tornado hits, when the F5 trial comes, when the Cat 5 hurricane hits, and we still stand. Praise God. I heard of a man one time that was caught out in a tropical country where there was palm trees. He was caught out in the midst of a hurricane. I think he went out to try to find a dog or something. Anyway, he got caught out there, and the wind was so strong he couldn't get back to any shelter. And he had with him a rope, probably enough that he could find the dog and maybe use it as a leash. It was longer than a leash. However he did it, it was said that he lashed himself, strapped himself to a palm tree. Amen. And the palm tree gave under the force of the winds, but it was not uprooted. And amen, I'm sure he had some bruises, and I'm sure he was weathered and storm tossed, but he was strapped to that solid object that did not give way in the storm. You know what we need to do? We need to double down on the truth of God's word and strap ourselves to it. Amen. When it gets as a knowledge in your heart, when the scripture declares, not just in your head, because if it's just in your head, believe me, it's going to shake sometimes. But if it's in your heart, and then your mind and your heart begin to line up, and you're in essence renewed in the spirit of your mind, praise God, because of something that is crystallized as truth in your heart, then we will not be shaken. Praise God. We need to strap ourselves to the truth of God's inerrant eternal word. And the Bible said that's where truth comes from. What I'm trying to do today is rightfully divide the word of truth. And I'm not just trying to do it in and of myself, for the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And when He comes, He will guide us into all truth. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, which is the word of truth, and we embrace the truth of the word, therefore, and continue in it, consistently go to the word, hallelujah, and read the word and hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because truth comes by hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. And hearing by the word of God. Listen, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, in John 8, 30 and 31, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. You will know it. And you won't just know it in your head, because this seed of the word is sown initially into the heart. And it grows out of the heart, this knowledge, into the mind. And then, when our heart is fixed upon the truth of God's word, and then our mind is transformed from doubting, from questioning, from the confusing, conflicting thoughts that are going to come, and yet we stand true, we lash ourselves to the truth of God's word when the storms of life hit. And I'm going to tell you something, that shelter you didn't make it back to of your own reasoning and thinking will be blown away. Amen. If you strapped yourself to the word of God, it's not the most comfortable place to be, because you're going to feel the force of the winds. You're going to be stung by rain that is wind driven, and maybe even some hail put a knot on our head. But I'm going to tell you something, after that storm blows out, what we're strapped to is going to be standing. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will abide forever. We need to double down on the truth of God's word. Get it into our heart. Amen. Let it begin to affect our mind when all of the reasonings come, when the doubts come, when the fears come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Job 1:21. In the midst of these trials, we won't go into them for time's sake. You can read the book of Job. He was, the troubles that came to him, we cannot imagine. But he said, in the midst of those trials, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was consistently able to lift. Oh, he questioned, absolutely. But ultimately, he was lashed himself to a truth that had been revealed to him by revelation. And he had a revelation of the coming Redeemer and the resurrection of Christ and his own resurrection. One of the most ancient books of the Bible He anchored his hope in that that was beyond the temporal into the eternal kingdom of God and coming King that would be our King and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He said, his wife saw him so dejected. His emotions had, and his circumstances were such. He was so emotionally traumatized. Amen. She saw him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And God dropped this into his heart by revelation. Amen. In the old covenant. And he said, I know. Everybody out in this listening room say, I know. We want to answer this question. Do we really know what we know? If you know it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, amen, by the eternal, inerrant truth of the Word of God, you can lash yourself to it in the midst of your storm. And hallelujah, hallelujah, come through that storm in the name of Jesus Christ with victory and not defeat and disillusionment and discouragement in God. Hallelujah. Even with a greater faith in God. Because it's easy to trust God when there are no storms upon your little ship and your little boat. Praise God. But when the storms come and threaten to sink the boat, as someone said, it takes some faith to keep everything afloat. And that faith, that deep-seated trust in the truth of God's Word, amen, that He is in control, He is sovereign and able to subdue everything unto Himself for His eternal purpose for us and His temporal purpose for us, amen. I'm going to go so far as deviate just a little today and say, I believe you and I as believers, if you're a child of God, born again, forgiven of your sins, amen, listen, and a Christian, I believe that we are in the kingdom of God for this time in human history and this time in God's eternal plan. I believe we're in the last of the last days to be a witness unto the truth of God, unto the truth of the Word of God and the truth about God and the truth about Jesus Christ. Amen. To give hope to a world that is getting more and more steeped in fear and this, what psychologists and sociologists are calling this anticipatory anxiety. They don't know what's coming, but they know it's not good. And there's a sense that something awful lays ahead. There's a sense of dread. Even young people that have their whole life before them are feeling the force of this dread, this sense of hopelessness that comes through a real understanding of just how helpless we are to deal with the complex, perplexing problems of the end times. When the Bible said one of the signs would be distress of nations with perplexity, with puzzlement, we don't know how to handle all of these situations, all of these end time circumstances that are global. These are not little temporal things. These are things that are fixed in our mind and hearts that are coming and getting worse as time goes on. Amen. This is a prelude to the great tribulation period, and people are feeling it. Young people are feeling it today. And we're living in a world that is desperate for hope. One of the signs is men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Now those things are going to be totally manifest during the tribulation. All of these bowl judgments and trumpet judgments poured out, visibly seen, personally experienced, but we feel it coming now. We sense it now. There's this sense of it now. All these things Jesus said that we're sensing now are the beginning of sorrows. The end isn't yet, but we know it's coming. We know it's coming. And I'm not just talking about we in the Christian community, but people in this sin-darkened world have a sense something wicked this way comes, something troubling this way is coming, something, a storm is coming that we can't hide from, and we can't deny that it's coming, and it's an awful storm. And those of us who are Christians know it's coming too. But we lash ourselves to the hope we have through the Word of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that we're not only going to weather that storm, or weather the storm that we may be in our personal life now. Amen. Listen, we know that Jesus is coming for us. We know that He is going to take us from the great tribulation and take us through the immediate trials and tribulations that we are facing in our life. For He said, I will never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Hallelujah. Job knew something. God dropped something into his heart in the most ancient book of the Bible, such a clear revelation of the resurrection, not only of Christ, but his own resurrection. Hallelujah. His wife saw him after all the things that he lost, all of the turmoil, all the storms that destroyed so much of the blessings of his life. And she said, why don't you curse God and die? She saw his agonizing. She saw his pain in his body and the pain in his heart. Why don't you just curse God and die? He must have abandoned you. But here was something he knew that took him through. Praise God, so God could bless him double. Listen, he said, I know. I don't know why all this happened. I don't know what God is doing, but he already got a glimpse of the sovereignty of God, amen, and the expectation of good to come. When he said, bless, the Lord gives, he takes away. He's in control. When it looks like everything's out of control, and even when I don't understand, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to submit something to you. When we consistently lift up the name of the Lord, no matter what, we ascribe to Him sovereignty and faithfulness. He's in control. Hallelujah. When it seems out of control. And no matter what happens, we extol Him and exalt His name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is our God faithful? Can we trust His promises? Because we know something about His person, His integrity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last day, He's going to stand upon the earth. I know. I know. How did He know it? He didn't have the New Testament. This was before the cross, before the apostles came with the gospel. But God gave him this revelation. And he said, listen, though the skin worms eat the flesh from my bones, I know my Redeemer liveth. And when he stands upon the earth, I'm going to stand up with him in my flesh. Despite the fact that if I die right here and now, amen, if the Lord doesn't let me live and I die right now, it's not over. I'm not done and God's not done. Glory to God. Amen. Though the skin worms, though I'm in the ground, graveyard, dead, and my body deteriorates and the skin worms eat my flesh, and I'm going to get graphic here for a minute, and excrete whatever they ate into the dust and dirt of the earth. When he stands up, I'm going to stand up too. In my flesh. Amen. I'm going to see the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to tell you, he said, you know, good is going to come. He got rid of his doubting. He got rid of his any bitterness, any anger at God, and he prayed for his enemies that accused him of something wrong, and it was really something right that brought this trouble, that God allowed this trouble to prove to the devil, there are those that'll keep trusting me even though my blessing seems to be taken from them. They won't turn on me. They will turn to me. Glory be to God. They'll double down. They'll dig in deeper when the trouble comes. Glory to God. I want to be one of those people. Amen. I want to praise my God, my King. I want to give him glory, dear friend. No matter what happens in my life, I am convinced that what he did for me on the cross proves a love that is not proven by him always taking me from trouble, but that this kind of love will sustain me to take me through whatever trouble comes. That is what I'm after. I'm after something more than giving mental assent to a truth, but having that truth crystallized in my heart and then in my mind, so it can't be shaken by my reasonings. Amen. Where doubts and fears and confusion comes from. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:28 says, for we know, there it is again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But friend, we must know by faith and settle it in our hearts. Don't give up on God. Bless his name and praise him anyway. Hallelujah. I like the story about knowing. Amen. It's supposed to be a true story years and years ago. It's about a man who advertised in the little small town newspaper for his wife's lost cat and offered he offered a $5,000 reward for that cat's return. The clerk taking the ad said to the husband, that's a rather risky thing to do. Somebody might find that cat and claim the reward. No, that won't happen, said the husband confidently. But you never know, responded the clerk. And $5,000 is a lot of money for a cat. To which the husband replied, calmly and matter-of-factly, when you know what you know, you can afford to be extravagant. When you know what you know, you can afford to be extravagant. What did he know? Can we know something from the Word of God that we can have extravagant faith? Not faith that absolutely proclaims and declares God's faithfulness, even when it looks like that we might be abandoned. Where's God in this? I can't see God in this. Well, he's in it, brother. He's in it, sister, because he promised to be in it. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they threw them into the fire because they wouldn't worship the false gods of the king and the false religion he had established. Amen. In that fiery furnace, he said, didn't we throw three men in that fire? And yet I see four. And the flesh are not falling from their bones. The flesh, they're not being consumed by this fire. They're not screaming in pain. They're walking around calmly and matter-of-factly. Hallelujah. And he said that fourth man, he's outstanding. He's standing out. He must have been glowing with a glory that was brighter than the flames of that seven times hotter fire. Amen. To intimidate them. And he said, listen, they walked out of that furnace and he said, their God is the true and the living God. You wonder why he sometimes takes you through instead of from? Because he wants to confirm and wants through our life to confirm that we serve the true and the living God, not because we never go through anything, but because he takes us through everything. Glory be to God. And we come out of that trial better and not bitter, with a faith that is deeper than when we went into the fire. Praise God. A holy resolve to trust him, whether he delivers us from or through. Our trust is in him, and we proclaim his name. Amen. This man's, listen, isn't that a lot of money? What if somebody finds that cat? To which the husband replied calmly and matter-of-factly, "When you know what you know." Hallelujah. You can afford to be extravagant. I accidentally ran over that cat and buried it myself. He didn't want his wife to find out, but she loved that cat so much he was going to be big and offer a big reward, because he knew that he knew nobody's ever going to find that cat. Let me submit to you today, when we as Christians know what we know about the love of God, there's no fear and no reason to fear life and its troubles. When we know what we know about the power and person of God, there's no uncertainty about the conditions and circumstances that may befall us. When we know what we know about the eternalness of Jesus Christ and the eternal inerrancy of his word, there's no despair about our future. When we know what we know, there's no need to doubt or be discouraged. You see, the Christian faith gives us an alternative to discouragement and doubt and fear. The Christian faith gives us confidence in a good outcome, no matter what may be happening in the immediate sense. Hallelujah. Praise God. Job didn't know why the trouble had befallen him. He didn't know what the immediate outcome would be. But he did know by the revelation of God. Amen. What pulled him through. I know my Redeemer lives. This is more than mental assent. This is something that is crystallized in the heart, because it came by the revelation of the Spirit of God to him. Hallelujah. With faith in the final outcome and gratitude, he said, he gives, he takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christian, can we just bless his holy name today? Do we know? Because he is faithful, proved his love by giving his son, and Christ his love for us by staying on the cross. Not just going to it, but staying on it till he paid our sin debt in full. And this Jesus who loved us this much, this God who gave his son for us, Christ who gave his life for us and to us, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In this world, you will have tribulation. Trials will come. Tests will come. Fiery trials will come. Circumstances will befall you as a believer. But I am with you. Look around in that fiery trial. You're not alone. He's keeping a promise. He's there. You may not see him, but I believe if you will bless his holy name by faith in his promise and his person, you will come through that. You will find what you need to come through that trial. And you'll come out of that fiery furnace not with your hair all singed and your skin all burnt with several degree burns. No, he won't just let you. He will bring you through with such a victory because of his promised presence acknowledged, testified to in the midst of the flames. They came out without the smell of smoke. Was there a purpose in him taking them through instead of taking them from? They said when he told them to worship the false gods or go in that furnace, the God we serve is the true and living God. He's able to deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, in other words, blessed be his name anyway, even if he doesn't, we won't bow to false gods. Well, he didn't. He took them through. But he took them through by sending a fourth person to be with them in it and take away the heat from the flames. Glory to God. Amen. And when they came out without even the smell of smoke, that kind of complete victory, amen, the king said, their God is the true and the living God. Hallelujah. He's the one. He's the one that we should bow to. He's the living one. He's the one that took them through, and therefore he proved that he is the true and a living God. We will not worship the gods of men, the false gods, the gods that demons impersonate. Oh, we will worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll worship Daniel's God that delivers him not from the lion's den, but in the lion's den from the mouth of the lions. Did you see why God sometimes takes us through instead of keeping us from? I'm going to submit to you today a military term, something that law enforcement uses many times when they say over the radio, I've got your six. Backup is here. I've got your back, using the clock and 12 at the top and 6 at the bottom. I've got your back. I've got your 6. You are not here by yourself facing whatever threat by yourself. I've got your 6. Friend, whatever you're going through today, God's got your 6. Hold on to that great truth. Let it crystallize in your heart and know when you're thrown into the midst of that fiery trial, you are not in it by yourself. And if God has allowed you to go in it, it means he's going to take you through. Amen. And when you come through, and you will, because he's got your 6, praise God, it's going to bring good to you and glory to him. It's a win-win. So trust him and bless his holy name right now. No matter what you're facing, I challenge you to lift up your hands and your voice and say, Lord, I thank you. I'm just going to be plain and practical. I thank you for having my 6. I thank you no matter what I face, you've got my back. And I thank you, therefore, for not letting mine enemies triumph over me. Glory to God. Oh, dear friend of mine, love him back for loving you. I know your mind may question, but let something get anchored in your heart that no matter what, you can put into practice this great truth that we should practice in the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. You don't have to understand, therefore, to trust. Neither did Job. Amen. But he did understand there is future good coming that nothing right here and right now can ever cancel, not even death and the deterioration of my body to the dust. When he stands, I'm going to stand. Praise God. Just knowing that truth anchored his soul. Hallelujah. Well, God took him through. He didn't have to wait for the resurrection or the Redeemer to come. God redeemed him. God restored him. Amen. Gave him double everything that he had lost. And something else had crystallized in his heart with all the good of more children and more material blessings that had been taken, he had a faith that could not be shaken. Hallelujah. Amen. Friend of mine, something good is about to happen to you, even though something bad may have happened to you already. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, take courage today. Be encouraged in the Lord today. Amen. And bless His holy name. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, then you're going to face every trial of life by yourself. God doesn't have your six. He wants to. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your friend. He wants to forgive your sin so that you can be reconciled unto Him. So no matter what you face in life or death or in the world to come, you will never be without God having your six, God having your back. So He loved the world, the fallen world, full of rebellious, blaspheming, proud, stubborn, arrogant people. He loved them so that He gave, not to lay in a manger, stay in a manger, but to start the journey to the cross in a manger, that as a man, a sinless man, He might offer the perfect sacrifice for our sins that God would accept, so He could forgive us if we would just repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We would be reconciled unto God. We would never, ever, ever face life or death or eternity alone. He would be with us. Jesus said it, didn't He? It's a promise, a personal promise. In this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And lo, I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. So come to Jesus, run to Jesus, and be saved, and be safe from the wrath to come.